The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
You will not.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." You may be seated. I may have mentioned this before, but you will often hear pastors talk about when you have visitors attending a Lutheran divine service, what they find most scandalizing. It's not often the vestments, the chanting, or things like these, although it may be a bit bizarre to those who haven't been accustomed to these sites, but if you watch enough movies and TV, you're used to seeing that kind of stuff. No, the most scandalizing part of the divine service is often at the very beginning, when after the people confess their sins, the pastor has the audacity to stand before them and say, "I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Forgiveness can be scandalizing. And the scandal of forgiveness is nothing new. And we see that in the gospel reading today. Listen again to what St. Matthew recorded. "And getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.'" Now, I am getting a little ahead of myself, so we should step back a second and talk about this paralytic. When Jesus speaks these words of forgiveness to this man, it seems odd at first because we think, here's this guy who can't walk and you're telling him his sins are forgiven. That does him a lot of good. But you see, the Lord knows something about illness and suffering. Sin and suffering are connected. Without sin in the world, there wouldn't be any illness. There wouldn't be any suffering. There wouldn't be death. And suffering and illness point you to the fact that the world has fallen into sin. So these two things are related. Jesus shows that. Now, this doesn't mean that the man's direct action caused his paralysis. Maybe something did. The text doesn't tell us that. But what Jesus is showing is the reality that it's sinners who get sick, and only sinners who get sick. For Jesus then to forgive this man's sin and to heal him physically proclaims who he is as the Son of God. And it shows us what he came to do. Jesus came into this world to bear our weaknesses, our infirmities, even as he bore our sin. By the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. And so the text goes on, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And so Jesus then in this encounter shows us that the words of forgiveness are not empty words either. There's a cost to these words that he speaks to the man. The words of forgiveness, the words of healing, are covered with blood. For there to be forgiveness, payment must be made. The Bible says on more than one occasion, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus looks at these people before him. He knows their hearts. He knows why they're saying what they're saying. He knows what he has come to do to bear the sin of the world. And so he speaks the words of forgiveness because he is the Redeemer. And now then for him to look at this man and say to him, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home," points to his authority to do the things he says. Because you see, the authority of Jesus is the authority of God himself. So the scandal of forgiveness for these people is really the scandal of Jesus. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and is a rock of offense to those outside of Christ. And so we're called to not harden our hearts to our Lord as he speaks those words today. A group of these scribes rejected Jesus, and they accused him of blaspheming God. But you know, it is true that only God can forgive sins. And that is precisely what he does even now in your lives. Jesus is the Lord, and he has accomplished your salvation. He has appointed the means which he forgives your sins, and he calls you to forgive one another. The forgiveness of Jesus is given to the church. It's exercised in a public way in the pastoral office, but it's also exercised in your daily lives as Christians. Through the means of grace, the word, and sacraments, God delivers forgiveness, life, and salvation. A great example of this is how God established confession and absolution when he spoke to his disciples on Easter evening, when he said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now, interestingly, you look back through history and on sermons on the gospel reading for this coming Sunday, a lot of them were catechetical sermons on confession and absolution of all things. That was kind of a focus. It was kind of a catechetical Sunday on that. But you see, Jesus speaks these words of forgiveness. And even when your pastor stands before you and speaks those words of forgiveness, it is just as if Jesus is speaking to you those words like that you hear in the gospel reading. Is your pastor Jesus? No, he's a sinner. He's a small, little, out-of-shape guy from Ohio. But God has given that office to deliver Christ and his forgiveness to you. Jesus forgives you your sin. He really does it. And forgiveness, then, that word is a sure word because it rests on the one who shed his blood for you. And God gives you real tangible ways you hold on to it in faith, trusting those words, clinging to those words as they do exactly what they say. So when your pastor says your sin is forgiven, your sin really is forgiven for the sake of Jesus. Only God can forgive sins because the Son is the propitiation, the atonement for your sin. So take comfort and trust those words Jesus speaks to you today. Your sin is forgiven. The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of comfort and healing. And you trust the words of forgiveness because your Lord has promised these are his words. But it doesn't end there. You as Christians forgive one another as well. All people who are Christians and baptized into Christ do this. And this way you praise Christ and the words he puts onto your mouth so that you say, as often as is necessary, be comforted, your sins have been forgiven. And we should not stop doing this until the last day when our Lord comes again. Say to one another, your sins are forgiven. Be cheerful, be comforted. A Christian always has such words in his mouth and publicly speaks the words in which sins are forgiven. And so Christians do this in their daily lives. And this brings healing. It brings healing to relationships and families, among friends, coworkers, and you name it. Healing and forgiveness go together. When I take couples through premarital catechesis, I always talk about when Rebecca and I went through that with the pastor who married us in Fort Wayne. He also sang to us, too, from Mary Poppins, so that was a memorable part of that. That was different. But he talked about, because the two of us, when in a marriage, when you sin against one another, you don't just respond, it's okay. It's not okay. The response is what? I forgive you. We see this in our lives. Healing and forgiveness go together. And those are powerful things as Christians. And the thing, it's a freeing thing as well. It's just as you pray as your Lord taught you in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So in your life, you forgive one another and you're comforted in the forgiveness. God gives comfort and forgiveness, which are without end and measure. And you see, the devil knows this. He knows this all too well. And he wants not just the opposite, but he wants destruction. The old evil foe wants you to be scandalized by forgiveness given to each other. He wants you to think, he appeals to your sinful flesh that forgiveness is impossible, or that it's a sign of weakness in your life, or there has to be some certain standard you determine before forgiveness can be delivered out. The devil likes you to think that you are entitled to not forgive, to seek retribution, to hold grudges against your neighbor, or to think you can somehow make things right by your actions. He doesn't care how this happens. It's dealer's choice. But he wants you to be scandalized by this forgiveness. But what does Jesus do? Jesus forgives. Forgiveness and healing go together. Jesus worked two miracles today than in this gospel reading. Jesus forgave the sins of the paralytic, and he healed him. And this same Jesus who did this in this reading is yours. And he's done this for you. Your sin is forgiven, and this is the very power of God. Rejoice in this and what this means for you and into eternity. Your Lord doesn't hold your sin against you because of Jesus. And the day is coming when God will look at you and he will say, "Rise." Not just from the bed of a paralytic, but from the grave itself. And that's what your Lord has done for you. That's how much he loves you. And this is for the forgiveness you have in him even now and what awaits you. And this is the mercy of God he shows to you, and it overflows to those around you as you forgive your neighbors. And this forgiveness also produces fruit in your life. The epistle reading speaks to this when it teaches you what your new life in Christ looks like. God calls you to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. This is the healing that is the new life in Christ, which has been given to you as you go through this world, living in faith toward God and in love toward your neighbor. This is your new Christian life. Martin Luther has a sermon on this epistle reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity, which is referenced in the Formula of Concord about teaching about good works for the Christian life. And so you see that God's forgiveness gives you new life. You have this. Jesus has given it to you, and you are free to live. And so Jesus said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Dear saints of God, listen to this account today in the gospel reading and rejoice. Rejoice in Jesus, who has accomplished your salvation. Rejoice in him who by his wounds you are healed. Rejoice in his forgiveness that he graciously gives to you. Rejoice in the forgiveness you give to others. Rejoice in the new life you have been given and now live. And rejoice in the healing that you have with this forgiveness. And see this paralytic raised from his bed and know that the final day will come when you will rise from your graves. Jesus has done wondrous things. He still does even now. Your sin is forgiven. It really is. And you belong to him now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.